From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport. From the heart of...
Stay where you are. WGBB 1240 AM, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air. You're getting very creative
he
with these openings.
He loves this opening.
I want to go back to the dial. I missed the dial. Get back to the dial. Let's listen to Al while I stop laughing. Gladness, and it puts our heart at ease. Whether working or at leisure, Jesus wants to show the way. If we take the time to ask him, he will guide us. You know, Tony, the program, and listeners, the program we have today is the greatest love story unfolding right before your ears.
Yes,
and
John.
I know I stole that from you. I'm sorry.
That's okay, John. It's okay. I'm honored that you would take my lines and use them.
And
but
we,
you're right. It is the greatest love story.
Tell them
ever
who
told.
We have.
We have Sal and his dear
Let's
wife.
Say his last name.
Capazzo.
Caprano, okay.
And his lovely wife.
Leonora.
Lenora. And Sal has a story to tell us that hold on to your seats, because it is a love story.
And not only is it his love story with God and her love story with God, it's their love story across their marriage.
With each other,
and
yes.
It's beautiful. And we just ask our listeners, wait until you understand how God's love has created a couple who live in love 24/7. Really is just wonderful. And one last thing, Sal chose the songs for today's show.
And they are amazing. I cried every time I heard the songs.
So what you're going to do first, you're going to hear the opening song that he chose, God of My Everything. And then Tony and I went to the house around Christmas time and had an interview with them, which you will find very interesting, I'm positive. And then he chose a song afterwards. He covers me.
So listen up, fasten your seatbelts, and get ready for the ride of love.
Oh God of heaven, come and hem me in. Gather the pieces that are broken. Show me the wonder. God of my heart, God of my need, God of my pain that no one else will ever see, God of my healing, God of my strength, God who is always and will forever reign, God of my everything.
Tony. We're here with Sal and Leonora. Laura. Last and name?
Capizano.
I figured I'd have you pronounce it.
Did I say it right?
So you asked him because he's Italian.
And Sal has really worked with religion and rock for many years, right?
Yeah, for almost 15 years.
And you told me you trained Father Hartman and Father Vlorn.
Oh, no, not Father Hartman.
I worked with Father Hartman, and I trained Father Vlorn to take it over.
And I want to mention, John, that Sal is a faithful listener to our show, aren't you, Sal?
Yep.
Every week, I think he listens.
Yes.
Sal, you got to get a life.
What? <No. laughs> It's my penance.
And you were going to go through your scrapbook here, which kind of talks about the work you've done and how God has helped you.
Yeah, what the Lord has done through me.
You want to open it up?
Yes. We would like to know how Jesus has touched your life.
Well, because of the MS, I had went through a life of depression after a marriage breakup, and it was a little bout with alcohol, and after some talking to by Father Tom Hartman, after going out with him, and I was kind of high, and he was talking to me about my drinking, and we were doing the radio show for that Monday, and then when he was taking me home, and he was telling me more about my drinking, and I kept yesing him to death, and he dropped me off home, and about right after that, I went to the refrigerator. Well, I had a bottle of sleeping pills that I was going to just end it because the MS was getting worse. I've had MS for 38 years. But at that time, I think I had MS for about 10, so I spilled the bottle of sleeping pills in my hand, and I couldn't swallow them. So I went to the refrigerator to get help from my friend Bud. So I'm waiting by the door, looking out the front door, with a bottle of Bud in one hand and a cigarette in another. And who drives by in a yellow Firebird? That was Tom Hartman, Father Tom. And he comes into the house and he says, "What have I been talking to you on?" Just then, the Lord had spoke to me, and I dumped the bottle in the toilet, and He became God of my life, you see. Before that, I was religious, but I didn't have no relationship. And it was at that time, I didn't have I had a relationship. I wasn't religious anymore, and after all, that's what we need in our relationship with Jesus. Jesus wants a relationship. He doesn't want us to be religious. The Pharisees were religious, and he had a major problem with them. And my life, he blessed my life immensely. I had met my wife, Lenora, on a retreat that I've been working on called Handicaps Encounter Christ. she came to the closing talk that I was doing. And we met and asked her for a phone number, and after I paid her the $30 she wanted, she gave it to me. And we dated, and a year or so after that, we married.
Wonderful.
Very good.
Yes, and the Lord bless us with a beautiful daughter. And it's a miracle themselves alone, that everybody's so surprised that even he had a 38 years, but the Lord really blessed us with a beautiful daughter, and even his doctor is surprised. It's like a miracle because of all this medication that he take, mm-hmm. everything. And like I said, it's not impossible to the Lord.
That's right. Nothing is impossible.
Yes, nothing impossible to the Lord. And his doctor is a Jewish, and he was like, he knows that we were believer to the miracle and to Jesus, that nothing is impossible to the Lord. We always said it to him. So,
and I believe you were sent to him by the Lord. I believe
that's what he said.
I believe very strong.
Oh, without a doubt.
Very strong.
Yes, because when we met at the retreat, it's like he's working there for how many years already? And that weekend, I don't really want to go, and my friend just forced me to go. He said, come on, don't stay home. Come on, you'll enjoy the closing and something like that. And I also went for a Corsilios. I don't know if you guys heard of Corsilios.
Yes, yes, yes.
I also participate for Corsilios, so I'm familiar to this retreat that he was doing, and that what we met there. And
you know, Lenore, I could see the sparkle in Sal's eyes when he talks about you and when he looks at you. I could see it in his face. He's so loving towards you.
I was very blessed that, you know, that we met. And like I said, half of the world that I come, I'm from the Philippines. And I didn't get married there. When I came here, the Lord had something for me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
he had
I'm
you,
so
Sal
blessed.
Waiting for you.
Amen.
It's so blessed that we met. That it's not like I know that I got to meet him there. No. No. We just met there and come friendship and go out and dating. And
yeah. His look is so inspiring when he talks about you and looks at you.
And I know your daughter is very, very spiritual, because when we walked in, we were taken by all the Christmas decorations that she put out here.
Yes.
And a nailing Santa. We were dying to see a nailing Santa.
When you guys talk about it, I said, we have the Santa Claus in
Jesus.
Pictures.
Well, we were waiting. We took pictures of it.
Because we listen every Saturday, and you talk about it. I said, we have that, I said to him.
My friend Barbara made that for me for Christmas.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yes.
20 years ago. You know, people listening, and they've given, as we were talking, I was remembering what my doctor had said. Well, the MS was diagnosed over 38 years ago. And at that time, there were no drugs for MS. A lot of people didn't even hear of MS. And they gave me less than 20 years to live, because I had the worst type. I had chronic progressive. I was a teenager, and I was a male, so I had everything going against me. But for those who are listening and they have a diagnosis from the doctor of so-and-so, that's what the world says. That's not what God says.
You got it.
Where the world gave me less than 20 years. Jesus says, now you're going for over 38.
Wow.
And he's been using me. And different. And praise God.
How does he use you?
Well, I would give talks at churches. I do a counseling line for the MS Society for people who are, have had MS for over 10 years. Mm-hmm. And people who have problems or situations where they would talk to me or just get see me in my situation and get help from that.
Right. So he's using you to evangelize, and you're his soldier evangelizing and bringing his word to other people with MS.
Oh yeah. Well, Paul says our life is an epistle, and that's really what my life has called to be. My confirmation name, and I didn't even know it at the time, because when I made my confirmation, the Beatles were a big thing, and I liked Paul McCartney, so
Paul.
It's Paul, yeah. But I didn't know how blessed that Paul was, where he wrote more than, he wrote almost half of the New Testament, and how the Lord had used him. And really, of course, Jesus is, but Paul, I relate so much to Paul, where my life is just to bring people to know the Lord.
And that's so wonderful, the way Jesus uses different people. Mm-hmm. And we never know if he's going to use us or not. We have to be open to it, though.
Yes.
Like you were open to it, Sal. Mm-hmm. And you accepted his offer to evangelize.
Yes.
And so did you.
Yes, like example that somebody give us a gift, we have to open it to find out what's in there.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus give to us. He always have a gift to us, but we have to accept it in our hearts, so we know we will find out who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm. Now you can receive it, like
just receive it.
So many times I'll ask people and I'll pray with people and I'll say, Jesus is giving you a gift. And you can't benefit from the gift unless you receive it and receive it in your heart.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And just accept in prayer, and just the whole thing. Well, Christmas, God reunited us to him. Of course, when Adam and Eve sinned, it separated us from God, and the death of Jesus reunited us. The curtain was torn in two in the temple at the death of Jesus, and that symbolizes that we all now have access to God.
Mm-hmm.
That there's no separation, whereas the Jews go into the Day of Atonement once a year. We have access to God, accepted him in our heart. We have access to him 365 days.
24/7.
That's right.
That's right.
Yep.
It's amazing, people don't know that unless they experience it, unless they open themselves up to him.
Mm-hmm. But Sal, isn't it so wonderful that our God, our Creator, our Father is available to us at any time? Isn't it amazing that he is ready to come to us and to hold us?
Mm-hmm.
We're such finite people. And he is such an awesome God. Like,
awesome.
right now, like, you're so right, it's in our heart. And, well, me dealing with MS for 38 plus years, I had lost some vision. I'm legally blind. I had lost my legs, my arms, my hands. Really, I went through a marriage breakup, lost my license. I used to have a horse. I used to race a car. I'd lost so many things, and praise God, all that I had lost is nothing to be compared. Like Paul writes, this what we're going through is not to be compared to the joy that waits before us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what I believe in Second Corinthians.
You haven't lost your heart, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or your soul.
You lost
or your
so
mind.
Many things, but you found Jesus.
That's right.
What
I'm
gonna
you
say.
Found salvation and happiness.
Yeah, you lost everything, but he found you, and he found you, and it's the greatest gift.
Truly is.
Yes.
You know, Sal, my wife Joan has MS. She has had it about 30 years. It's not progressive, supposedly, but it's maybe progressing. And she looks at it, you know, she's in pain constantly, but she looks at it sort of the same way that you look at it. And she hasn't had it as severe as you, but she accepts it because she feels that this is the will of Jesus, and that she found Jesus also, and her gift is Jesus. And so we can relate to the situation.
Yes, it's really easy to the people with MS or any sickness that to accept it and use it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's really good that people see that kind. But if they cannot see that, their life is going to be miserable also.
Yes.
Because they don't know the Lord. But like I said, whatever sickness we have and we use it in the name of the Lord, you'll be happy and you forget that you have this and you have that.
She accepts it.
That's the
In the name of Jesus.
Yes. That was really, really.
She knows it. That's Jesus' will.
And she can use it.
Yes.
Testimony to the people with the MS too.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I never forget the first first interviews I did, newspaper interviews. It was for, I think, the Long Island Catholic. And the article was how Capizano makes a life for himself despite MS. And the woman, Nancy Dwyer, had asked me, what do you say when people say are to me that God for giving you that you have MS? And I said, well, God allowed me to have MS. He didn't give me MS. He allowed me to have it. And so much good has been coming out of it. Romans 8:28, Paul writes, all things happen for good for those who love and serve the Lord, for those who are Christ Jesus. And I know, well, I never would have met my wife, Lenora, and worse than I never would have known him, because it was, well, like I said, after that incident with Father Tom, throwing out the pills, and weeks after that, I had a mass, a charismatic mass at Our Lady of Mercy on Friday night with Father Brasso.
Sure.
I accepted the Lord in my heart, and my life has just been going up ever since, instead of before that was going downhill. Mm-hmm. And now every day I look forward to spending it with my wife and the Lord and what he has planned for me. Every day is new, and every day is a venture with the Lord.
Do you pray a lot older in the day?
He's a prayer warrior.
He's a prayer warrior?
Yeah, I try and pray for...
We start the day.
Close to... between Bible reading and a prayer an hour in the morning. And really, and even the things I'm dealing with, you can't get through without, like, I would talk to these people on the phone with them, as or just people in general. And it's like, how could they make it without you? Like, it's so hard. Like, I have people say, well, you have Jesus, use that as a crutch. It's like, well, if it's a crutch, that's right, I need a crutch. And Jesus is not a crutch, he's my salvation, and he's brought me through this far, and he'll bring me home.
Oh, absolutely, we'll bring you home, absolutely. I can't help but recalling, as you were talking, about the Romans, when they were martyring the Christians, and they were leading the Christians up to the lion's den, and the Christians were singing praises and joy and having smiles on their faces, and they were going to their death, and sent the Romans crazy because they couldn't figure out how come these Christians are so joyful and happy. They had the spirit of Jesus in them. And that's what it is. That's all it takes, is the spirit of Jesus.
I also think it's amazing that no matter what happens to people in their lives, Holy Spirit comes in, if you let him in, and he gives you God's perspective on what's going on, not our perspective. Mm-hmm. Our human perspective is, hey, this is terrible. And while it's certainly, I worked with the physically disabled for a number of years, and they would tell me it's an inconvenience, but it's not the end of life. And mm-hmm. I find, how do you, yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Because God comes in, mm-hmm. and he just works a miracle inside mm-hmm. of you. Everybody that we enter, that I've known, mm-hmm. who had severe physical problems, said it was the blessing from God.
Yeah. Absolutely, and they said they wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah.
We've interviewed quite a few disabled, and they've accepted it, and that's a gift from God.
And like he said, if he didn't have the MS, he might not know the Lord.
Yeah.
Because of the busy life that he had before he had MS.
And it's important to realize what you also said, Sal, is that God didn't give this to you. He allows it.
Yeah.
And then if you accept it, he uses it for greater good in your life. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
That's what I said to him also, that, you know, we know that you're suffering right now, but we will try the best of everything, and we will enjoy our life with the MS.
Mm-hmm.
I said to him, and we can do everything like people with no MS.
Mm-hmm. You just live a normal life.
Yes.
As best you can.
That's what I always tell him, that we'll try to live the normal life.
So many times that someone will say to me, it's like, it's, wow, I never really think of you as disabled or anything, because the things I do or the things. Well, I'm close to a year and a half. I'm a year and a half away from a PhD. And
how are you?
Psychology. I got a master's from Hofstra.
Gotta watch people with PhDs in psychology. There's something wrong with them.
Yeah,
watch them.
I have one. That's why.
And that was our daughter's getting right now.
Okay.
She was in third year college now, and that was she wanted to do also. Uh-huh. We don't know what's gonna happen, but she wanted to be a PhD also.
My brother's been a PhD. He for 35 years had Cortland County Mental. Okay. Uh-huh. Mental hygiene program. And, well, the Lord, when I was close to the PhD, the Lord just brought me in another direction to pursue it.
Absolutely. John and I are both PhDs, and we could attest to the fact that it's no easy task, and it's amazing. Definitely.
You two are very special, and we're so happy that you've given us time just to talk today. And we'll put this on the air, and I know you're going to touch so many people.
And you're inspirational, both of you. I honestly feel that you're both inspirational.
Like I said also earlier, that our life is testimony to the people, the way we live, the way we talk, mm-hmm. and the way our friendship to the people, they can see that we know the Lord.
And John and I are so honored to have you've given us this time to talk to us and allow us to try to inspire other people with your stories.
And Monsignor Rick Glios is a big part of our life.
Yes.
He is a big part of our life, yes.
How I met Father Rick,
big part.
Father Hartman had me director of radio for the diocese. So I was overseeing all of the radio shows on HLI, BAB, and there was this one show that Father Hartman had on WHLI, and I was training Father... I forget his name. And he was interviewing Father Figliosi, who then was Deacon Figliosi. Oh. And he was interviewing him on a vocation because that Sunday he was getting ordained, and I met Father Rick at the studio because I was training the priest to take over the radio show. And that's when I met Father Rick. So that's like 28 years.
He's a wonderful priest, a wonderful man.
Another blessing in your life.
Yes. Like
believe
I said, he's
another blessing.
Big blessing to us. Yes. Big blessing to us.
We're going to have to bring it to an end, though, because we're out of time.
Okay.
But we thank you for being with us.
It was an honor and a pleasure.
We are really feel blessed to both meet you. Well, just to meet you is a blessing to us.
But you really have to find something better to do on Saturday mornings than listen to us. You know, and this next song that we're going to play right away is the other song that Tony Sal had chosen. He covers me. Listen to these words as part of his love story.
Oh Lord, I feel so barren and ashamed of who I am. How I often fell, I hid it well. It is a lie I cannot defend. So I lean upon your mercy as I confess my sin to you. There's no easy way, no saving face, when I finally see the truth. Shall be released. let me glory in my weakness until your strength's revealed in me. It is your grace, Lord, that helps me carry on to be the man I long to be. So let your life be perfected, Lord, in me until it's you.
A wonderful, wonderful exchange. Tony, I don't know if the listeners got what I got in terms of the love between Leonora and Sal.
It's everlasting. It's deep. And it goes way beyond any of our imagination.
I know.
Way beyond. Beyond our ability to explain the deep love that they both have for one another.
And for God.
And for God. And you know, John, it just dawned on me while Sal was talking. It's no coincidence that tomorrow's readings, the first reading, is the book of Job.
Job.
And Job was being tested by God.
And I always
Job had it all. He had it all. He had fame. He had wealth. He had money. He had children. He had love. And he was tested by the urging of the devil to God.
You know, Tony, I just, sometimes when I get my own little problems in life, nothing like what Sal and Leonora and others go through, I would say, you know, Job had it easy, you know, and you don't really understand how God can work with everybody through their problems, big and small.
Job speaks of human life as akin to slavery, a time of emptiness and misery that passes like the breath. But yet, Job never loses his faith in God. And Sal and Leonora have never lost their faith in God. And it's so beautiful.
I thought I was watching or listening to two world champions in terms of God's love. You know, it just is alive. In their home, didn't you feel it when you walked in and
you
saw
those
decorations?
How could you not? We took pictures.
I know we did. And it was really just so wonderful to see that love.
Beyond it all, John, my personal opinion is that you and I were blessed to get to know Sal. He became good friends of ours, and we talk
rather regularly.
Who's our saint today?
This was a difficult task, John, because in all the research that I've done, I came up with an astounding fact. There is no patron saint for multiple sclerosis. Now, I'm amazed over that, and I've spent hours researching it. But I've selected, probably from Divine Providence, Saint Lidwina, L-I-D-W-I-N-A. And she's the saint of the chronically ill and of skaters. But my research on saints has been extremely intriguing all this whole year. However, this week has been extremely interesting. All my in-depth search for the patron saint of multiple sclerosis has turned up no one.
Wow.
I've looked over a listing of maybe 1,000 patron saints, and there's no listing for multiple sclerosis.
So but if you listen to Sal and Leonora, aren't they like saints with MS?
Isn't that the truth? Okay, but let's talk about Saint Lidwina. I had a strong urge to concentrate on Saint Lidwina. She was born in Holland in the year 1380 and is one of 9 children. However, at the age of 15, she had a skating accident and she became a lifelong invalid. But because of that, she turned her life to the Lord, to God. And she suffered intensely, with each year bringing increasing pain. She gained fame as being a healer because she turned her life to God and a holy woman. She bore her pain and made it public that she was bearing her pain for the sins of others. And she asked God and Jesus to use that pain to forgive the sins of others. So beginning in 1407, she began to experience supernatural gifts, ecstasies, and visions in which she participated in the Passion of Christ. She had the gift of seeing what purgatory was all about and heaven. And she visited with the saints, like other saints have. The last 19 years of her life, she took no substance but communion. She slept little, and for all the last 7 years of her life, she became almost completely blind.
19 years just
19 years of communion.
Wow.
The extraordinary suffering attracted widespread attention. And when a new parish priest accused her of being a hypocrite, the people of the town loved her so much they revolted and threatened to drive him away from the parish. A commission by the local bishop to investigate her situation declared her experiences to be valid. It is also authenticating the document attests that Lidwina, now listen to this carefully, Lidwina shedded her skin, bones, parts of her testament, and her parents kept them in a vase, and it gave off a sweet odor. This attracted so much attention that Lidwina had her mother bury them so they would be out of sight. She was abused by 4 soldiers during Holland's occupation, and they said that her swollen body was due to her being abused by the local priest rather than for her sickness. She finally died at the age of 53 from her illness. And Thomas Kempis wrote a biography of her, and her story was approved in 1890. But St. Lidwina's relationship with multiple sclerosis is revealed in the historical texts, which showed that she was afflicted with similar diseases and sharing many of the characteristics as multiple sclerosis. Her disease began soon after her fall. From that time onward, she developed walking difficulties, headaches, and violent pains in her teeth. By the age of 19, both her legs were paralyzed and her vision was disturbed. Over the next 34 years, conditions slowly deteriorated, although with apparent periods of remission until her death. Today, these factors suggest a diagnosis of MS, although during that time, everyone was totally unaware of it. Therefore, dating MS back to the 14th century, although it has not been authenticated and still the fact remains, there is no patron saint for multiple sclerosis. That's the story.
It's, you know, it's just what Sal was talking about. You know, I spent 10 years working at Abilities, which is the Center for the Physically Disabled over in Albertson, and I worked with Hank Viscardi. And mm-hmm. Hank was just a wonderful man, born with no legs, beneath his knees, just little feet. And I remember going on trips with him and just listening to him talk, just by his very presence, people were inspired. And Hank had a wonderful, wonderful gift of humor. And he was, if you looked at him, he was built like a wrestler from the hips up. And one day, we were in the pool over at Abilities, and Hank said, "Hey, John, come on over. You want to play water polo with me?" I said, "Are you kidding? With your shoulders and your arms, I'd be drowned in 2 seconds, you know?" Because in the water, he was equivalent to any man, you know? And what happens when you work with a person with disabilities, you think of the person first and not the disability. You want to know how bad I was, Tony, with this? Want to know how bad? One man there had a rich, I can't remember his last name, but he had erythrogryposis. His hands were paralyzed in opposite directions, so he could never pull them together, fingers to fingers, right? And I had him in the grab bag at Christmas. Do you know what I got him for Christmas? Just to show I thought of him as a person, I got him Rubik's Cube. No, that's pretty bad. you got to really be sick. But, you know, and Rich was not insulted. He said, "No, John, you thought of me as a person first." And I love that. And that's, and when we talk with Sal, then you just think of Sal as a person first.
I thought of Sal as a person. I thought of him as a saint. And most importantly, I immediately thought of him as a friend.
Yeah.
And that's how I how I think of him.
And Leonore as well.
We once in a while call one another.
Wonderful.
And we discuss. And by the way, you know, he did give us good advice on the show. Right?
Yeah, he told us to quit.
Hang it up. No. He said, "Don't have too many guests."
Well,
I guess he liked to listen to us talk.
I'd like to move into healing.
Let's do it.
I mean, just leave it on Trevor. It's all right. It'll just go into the next song. Because we heard healing alive in Sal and Leonora's love story.
Oh.
Healing was alive there because Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, was alive in their relationship. Wasn't it beautiful?
Oh, his whole testimony was so beautiful. And didn't he say that he wouldn't trade places with anybody in the world?
I know. And how many people have we had that?
You know, we've had several that said the same thing.
When I was in Abilities, the woman who was shot by Son of Sam and was in a wheelchair, and I said, "Were you mad at Sam?" In the beginning I was, but I found God. I found God, and I would not have found God without that. And paralyzed for her life.
And God has a way of finding all of us and healing us.
Jesus, we'd like to pray right now for all in our audience who have been afflicted with some sort of disease. We know of Liz, of course, with Chiari disease, and so many people with cancer that we've been praying for so long. But Lord, when we listen to Sal, when we listen to Leonora, we can hear your love. We can hear your grace alive in their relationship. So we pray that on any listener and all listeners who have serious afflictions, that same love story would come alive for them, that they would be touched by the beauty and the wonder of your divine love. And you know, disabilities are not just physical. There are many people with emotional disabilities who really can't walk straight because of the pain, the psychic pain that can't be seen, but is very, very vivid and alive. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit enter into their hearts and into their lives, just like with Sal and just like with Leonora. You know, at the end of the show, and Trevor, I'm going to put on the second to last song. I think it's number 6 or 7. I chose this song in prayer as a tribute to Sal and Leonora and their love story. Celine Dion. Think of God as well.
For all the wrong that you made right, for every dream you made come true, for all the love I found in you, I'll be forever thankful, baby. You're the one who held me up, never let me fall. You're the one who saw. You were my strength when I
John, if I may, I'd like to read a little poem given to me by Father Charles, lovingly known as Uncle Charlie. God loves you. It's amazing and incredible, but it's as true as it can be. God loves and understands us all, and that means you and me. God's grace is all sufficient for both young and old, for the lonely and the timid, for the brash and the bold. God's love knows no exceptions, so never feel excluded. No matter who you are, what you are, your name has been included. And no matter what your past has been, trust God to understand. And no matter what your problem is, just place it in God's hands. For in all your unlovingness, this great God loves us still. God loves us since the world began, and that's more. God always will. It was written by Helen Steiner Rice.
Wow. And I'd like to finish with our opening song, because that's been the whole show. It summarizes it. And Al, you're going to sing all the way to the end. Next week, we're doing a Life in the Spirit seminar, because we want people to get into the spirit of love.
Thank you, everyone.
Oh, the Spirit of sweet Jesus flows as a gentle breeze, and it fills our soul with gladness, and it puts our heart at ease. Whether working or at leisure, Jesus wants to show the way. If we take the time to ask him, he will guide us through the day. Let's be thankful for Lord Jesus when we want to find our way. Let's remember that he loves us, and let's thank him every day. When the task seems way beyond us, and our heart is filled with fear, turn it over to Jesus, watch your worries disappear. Let's be thankful for Lord Jesus when we want to find our way. Let's remember.